Hey, so funny this week, you know, this earthquake. I had all my people calling, are you okay, Pastor D? I don't know, I didn't feel anything, but there were other parts, so interesting times we live in. Good thing we know Jesus, right? Yeah, amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, through Jesus. And we come here, Father, with, thank you. We are gathering together. We are gathering together freely. And we come to hear words from you, Lord, that would just impact our life, strengthen us, direct us, and encourage us. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And everybody went wild and said, amen. All right. I was chatting with this lady over at Target. It was Monday, the day after Easter, and I said, hey, how you doing? She said, good. I said, how was your Easter? You know, you can walk up to the people and say that's no big deal. And she says, oh, it was good. I said, oh, okay, where do you go? And she told me the church she went to, and I said, well, did you enjoy your Easter service? She says, well, it wasn't really Pentecostal enough for me. I was like, well, here's a card. Come join us at YCF. Anyway. All righty. How many of you remember we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount? Three of you. All right. Awesome. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and it's based off of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And not last week, because that was Easter, but the Sunday before that, we actually wrapped up what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, we finished up on Matthew 5, verse 12. And this is where Jesus shifts gears, and we're going to go into that. But, you know, one of the last things we said last time, talking about the Beatitudes, is Jesus says we're to be peacemakers. How many remember that, peacemakers? So raise your other hand if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise the other hand or whatever you got left over and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says if you're a follower of him, you'll be a peacemaker. Now, don't raise your hand, but it's kind of hard some days, right, to be a peacemaker. And some of y'all, if you're on social media, man, that is a hard place to be a peacemaker and not jump in and go down the wrong rabbit trail. So we are followers of Jesus, and Jesus says you are to be peacemakers. All right. So now we're shifting gear. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Open up your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. And this is where Jesus kind of switches gears. Because remember, he's talking to people. Well, listen, in Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, Jesus goes up onto the mount, the Sermon on the Mount, goes up on the mount, and his disciples follow him, and he's going to start teaching them. So here we are, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is the next section, all right. Jesus says, before, how many of you know this section? Jesus says you are to be salt and light. So that's what we're going to talk about, my props today. Salt and light. We will see them later. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Who is the salt of the earth? All right. You get coffee after church. Okay. You are the salt of the earth. Okay. Now, these verses that we're going to read, verses 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus actually gives you your purpose. You know, I've run into people, I just don't know what my purpose is in life. I really don't know. Get your piece of paper out. Here you go. He's going to tell you your purpose, all right, in these verses. And he says right here, the first one, you are salt. That's your purpose in life, salt, all right? So, again, who is Jesus talking to? His disciples. You know, sometimes, just a side note, someone says, you know, those disciples, they were just sort of a nerdy bunch of guys. They probably don't have any education and, you know, whatever. Oh my gosh. They were intense at times. How many remember? Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. A mob comes up and they're going to arrest him, and then they want to crucify him. And then we have Peter. How many of you want to meet Peter in heaven? I'm telling you, some of you are Peter here. Okay, so Peter picks up a sword and he just, I'm pretty sure he was aiming for the head, but he's a fisherman. So he slices the ear off of the high priest's servant. Now, this guy, I did a little research. It wasn't just a servant, how you carry my Bible, how you carry my keys so I don't lose them. He was actually in training he's pretty important. So here's Peter. He slashes the guy's ear off. The ear falls on the ground, and Jesus picks it up. Raise your hand if you won't even pick up a worm. I know. Some of you are like, gross. Jesus picks up this ear, puts it back on this guy, and he's healed. Don't we serve an awesome God? I mean, yeah. Some of you are like, no, I wasn't touching that, Pastor D. All right. But this guy, and really this mob that comes up to where Jesus is praying, and this guy, they're actually enemies of Jesus. Like, they have been a pain in his tutu the whole time he's been on the earth. They're his enemy, and Jesus heals his enemy. Some of you, if your enemy walks in, you don't even talk to them, let alone pray for them. Look at the ceiling, because Pastor D's not looking at me, okay? So, anyway, okay, moving right along. Easter just so spoke to me. All right, how many had fun on Easter? I ate all the jelly beans. I am done for a whole year. I had so much sugar going through me, it was incredible. But I'm done. That's it. They're not even tempting anymore. Okay, so Jesus reveals, you should write this down, our purpose. You are to be salt and you are to be light. Ready? Okay. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt to the whole human race. You know, sometimes when we say earth, we think of the globe. There's that round globe or the planets. No, no. You are the salt to people on this planet, all right? So you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavors, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Throw it out on your sidewalk and just step all over it, right? Verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on high, cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But where do they put it? On a lampstand, so it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you're taking notes, they're going to pop this on the screen. Listen to this. Good works won't get you to heaven. Okay? But they could cause someone who is far from God, because you are close to them, to experience Jesus. So good works won't get you to heaven, right? You all know Ephesians 2, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by your works, lest you can boast. You don't get to heaven by your good works, right? But the last part, your good works could cause someone who is far from God to be experience Jesus, all right? So I'm going to touch on that later. Let's say this. So here we have Jesus. He's talking to his disciples. That's you and I. And now he wants you to be salt and he wants you to be light, okay? So how do I live like salt? How do I live like light? How do I become salt? How do I become light? Well, I'm going to just lay a foundation, because we've got a lot of people here that are new to Jesus, new to the Bible, new to even coming to church. So here's two main things that happen the day you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Two main things. And of course, you know, I slide about seven other underneath there. But two main things, and they're going to pop this on the screen if you want to write this down. The day you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, Jesus, come into my life. All right, this is what happens. We now have a relationship with him that is eternal. Everybody say eternal. And as my kids say, forever. Forever, right? So if you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you have a relationship with him that's eternal and it's forever. So what happens with that? I mean, that's nice, Pastor D. Well, what happens with that, okay? Because of grace, the day I asked Jesus Christ in your life, he gives you a whole bunch of stuff free. How many of you have been to BJ's or Sam's Club and they got the ladies with the cart and they give you stuff free, right? Okay, Jesus gives you a whole bunch of stuff free the day you receive Jesus Christ. You don't earn it and you don't work for it, right? Now, grace is not opposed to effort. It's not against effort. It is grace of God. God is not against me working for him. God is not against me studying for him, with him, studying the word, okay? He's not opposed to any of that, but this is, here's the deal. He is opposed if you think that you have to work for the stuff that's free. And I grew up in a church and everything had to do, you had to work to get stuff from Jesus. You know, that's exhausting. It's pitiful, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Grace isn't opposed to effort. Good works, okay? But it is opposed to you thinking you have to work for it because it's free. All right, so what happens through grace? I'm going to give you a couple of things. The day you receive Jesus Christ, these are things that happen to you. You have eternal life imparted to you. Everybody say, I have eternal life. All right, now, how many of you, it's on the inside of you, by the way, okay? How many of you just maybe are living way below the standard that God has planned for you to walk? Don't raise your hand. You're living way beyond the standard because you don't realize the day you ask Jesus Christ, it's like one of those movies. Okay, you know, what movie did you watch, Pastor D? Just leave me alone. Okay, the day you ask Jesus Christ, eternal life, the life of God came inside of you. You're amazing. You are amazing, and you got to know it. All right, here's the other thing that happens the day you receive Jesus Christ. Ready? Righteousness. And by the way, it's free. Eternal life's free. Righteousness is free. What is righteousness? I am now made right with him. I'm now right with him, all right? So you can't earn it. It's something you got free, righteousness. So eternal life, righteousness, all right? So let me ask this question. I'm going to ask a lot of questions today. You can raise your hand. How many of you have ever felt, just at a time of your life, that you felt like you weren't righteous? One, two, all right, three, yeah, okay. Well, I've had some moments. Okay? And even though, you know, just at a certain time, I have felt not righteous before God. So what do? I know what the word says, okay? The scripture says, I have been made with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that. This is called faith. And everything that's, you know, maybe you did something stupid, okay? And everything's yelling at you. I just put my fingers in my ear and I go, I don't care. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Devil? Okay? It's by faith. It was given to you and it's free. And you hang on to it. And it's not because anything you did. It's because who did what? Jesus did it. And he died on the cross for you. Okay. So the day you receive Jesus Christ, eternal life, righteousness. Here's the other one, redemption. That means I've been redeemed. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Next week we're going to talk about law. So come back. I'm not going any farther with that. Just write that one down, okay? Here's the fourth one, okay? Here's the other things that happens. The blood of Jesus has been given to you free. How many of you are so glad the blood of Jesus, what, forgave you all of your sins? Jesus died on his cross. The blood that he shed was he presented it to the Father up in the holies of holies, and it forgave your sins. It also does a whole lot more than just forgiving your sins, which I am forever. You know, some days I just stop in my track going, wow, I'm forgiven. But it's also the blood of Jesus. You get to apply it in your life. You apply it for healing. You apply it for protection. There's so much more. And you ought to get a good book on that. And we have some in the bookstore, okay? If not, I have one. I have six. I pulled them all off and I left them downstairs. Forgot to bring them up, okay? One of them is Joyce Myers, The Blood, The Word, The Blood, The Name. Amazing. She wrote this like 25 years ago, okay? The other one is Larry Huggins, and he wrote The Blood Speaks. You want to know what you have? you might have to dig into it. Okay, so there's some good stuff. All right, the last one, and there's more, but you have the Holy Spirit. The day you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside of you, and he is amazing. Counselor, okay, we'll go on here. So there's things that happen when we receive Jesus. We're in a relationship with him, okay? We have a relationship with him, and if we stay, we have a relationship with him, but we want to stay on the correct path, the path of righteousness, okay? Now, you can go down this path of unrighteousness, and you can go down the path, and you can go down the path, and you can go down the path, and you're going to end up in trouble. Been there, done that for 21 years, okay? So I want to stay on the path of righteousness, and the Bible says that it becomes, my life becomes lighter and lighter because of the path of righteousness. So raise your hand if you want to stay on the God path of righteousness. I sure do. All right, so that was number one. All of that fit under number one. Number two, if you're taking notes, here we go. We have fellowship with him, which is temporal. What? Pastor D, what are you talking about? Temporal, okay. You can actually go in and out of fellowship. Some of you have done that with friends, right? Okay, now this one. You can go in and out of fellowship with him as you're walking with the Lord, all right? sort of like my New Year's resolution, doing good, and then just kind of not, okay? You can, where's Heather? Oh, she's downstairs teaching. I was telling her one of those knots, okay, with my New Year's resolution. We were laughing, okay? But listen, we have a relationship with the Father God. We have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you can go in and out of that fellowship as you're walking around life, okay? And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. Says, you know what? I have been walking down the wrong path. I would like to go down the right path. I was walking in the path that God wanted, but now I'm not. And we can get you on the right path, all right? So let me read a scripture that's a good example. Everybody turn to 1 John. 1 John, end of your Bible, not the gospel. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 John chapter 1. Listen to this. It says, if we, oh, by the way, who's he writing to here? Christians. He's not writing this to the world. He's writing this to believers, followers of Jesus, okay? He says this, if we say we have fellowship with him. All right, I want to impress you. That word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. That was one of Jack's favorites, man. He just threw that word all around, right? Just, okay. Okay, what does it mean? Okay, fellowship, koinonia, it means to have a partnership with him. It's so close. It is a face-to-face relationship, partnership with him. Woo! All right? So, let's keep reading. So if we say we have fellowship, koinonia, partnership, face-to-face with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, okay? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So you see that word light? You can actually scribble on your piece of, somebody told me, who was I talking to? Oh, yeah. They never write in their Bible. Never. That's okay. You should see mine. But this is where you say the word light, write the word, Jesus is the word, Jesus is the light. So we could say it this way, but if we walk in the word, as he is the word, we have fellowship one with another. All right, okay, this is why I love groups. We have grow groups here. Matter of fact, yesterday I was not invited to this group. It's the men's group. Didn't want to come. Anyway, okay, this is a men's group, okay, and they have, it's about prayer, and it's also about food, but it's a lot of fellowship, okay, fellowship one with another, okay. Now, you understand, right now, this is not koinonia, partnership, face to face, okay. Now, you may be sitting close to somebody, get your arm off of them, no, I'm kidding, okay. All right? Okay, you might be sitting close to them, all right? But that doesn't mean that you're really close in a certain way, okay? So we have groups here at YCF, all right? And groups are circles, all right? And you get to have fellowship. You really get to have fellowship. Right now you are in rows, and that means you have to look at me, okay? But you're not in a circle. There's really not fellowship. And the person next to you, you can ignore them. Because you're in rows, okay? There doesn't have to be a fellowship going on, okay? So, fellowship, partnership, just saying. Here we go. Pastor D, where are we? Oh, yeah. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin. Have you run up to somebody and they're like, oh, I don't have sin. I've never. Liar. Okay, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, here's my question. How do you stay in fellowship with him? You should write that down. Okay, because you can go out of fellowship with him, all right? And you know what happens when you're not in fellowship with him? You lose your saltiness. Zip, okay? You lose your saltiness. You are no longer salty, okay? And who are we supposed to be salty to? The world. So when you lose your fellowship, you walk out of fellowship, you are not effective for the world. I was going to think of another word, but anyway, here we go. So by the way, this right here, this is not all of God's design. Okay, all right? So now you are here, okay, because you want the coffee. No, you're here to be fed, right? You're here to be fed. But then you need to go out after you're fed, and you need to go be a part of the world. You need to touch people, the world, okay? You need to be touching the world, not in the weird way. Some of you, why is your head so bad? Okay, I'm going to get a drink. Here we go. So this is not God's full design, okay? Yes, you come to church. Yes, you get filled up with the Word of God. Yes, you get filled with worship and you encounter the Holy Spirit and you do all this stuff. But he wants you then to go out these doors. Besides, I turn off the lights and I lock the doors and I want you to go out, okay? Go out and tell the world that you are salty and light. Amen. All right. 1 John, Okay, jump down to verse 9. If we confess our sins, okay, another way we could say that is, if I agree with God that I have sinned, okay, because you know the culture that we're living in will say, that was nothing. Oh, sweetie, you can do that. That's not sin, okay? They don't even use the word sin, all right? The culture will say, oh, you can just keep living the way you've been living. That's okay. Anybody ever run into the culture telling you that? Okay? No? Okay? And they're like, there isn't any standard anymore. I got news. God set the standard. Yeah. The standard's in here, okay? The standard's this. And it's not what the world's saying. So here's the thing. Where we are living, they want you to not have the standard of God. The culture is pushing it. They have pushed it past the line. They're over the line. Right? All right. So here's the thing. We are supposed to be the salt and the light, and we preserve, okay? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But listen, I am always going to preserve the culture of God. And I might not get invited places, okay? I don't care. And you can lock me up, okay? So how many of you are going to stand for the culture of God, be preservers of the culture of God? Yes, you have to. Okay, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, so the very first part says, if we have fellowship with him. Fellowship is really about relationship and sonship. Write that down. Relationship and sonship. Fellowship with him is really about relationship and sonship, okay? So, sonship is the day you receive Jesus Christ into your life. I remember that. I then became a daughter of God. The day you receive Jesus Christ, you have you're either a son or a daughter of God, all right? You have a relationship with Jesus, right? So he's now your big brother. Isn't that bananas? So someone says you're an only child. So I am not. I've got a big brother, right? Some of you, just go with it, all right? All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians now. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, officially sweating up here. Gosh, geez. All right. Ta-da. Must be a good message, Pastor Dan. I don't know. Okay, here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to this. God is faithful by whom he called, raise your hand, you. By whom you were called into fellowship, relationship, koinonia, face to face with his son, Jesus Christ. Wow. Guys, wow. You and I have been called into a fellowship, a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ, okay? You are in partnership. You now have a relationship with him. Woo! All right. Matthew 5, verse 13 says, you and I are called to be the salt of the light, and then he goes on, if you lose your salt flavor, okay? How many of you like salt? Okay, how many of you really like salt? Okay, there's a bunch of you. Not me, sugar. I like sugar. But my girlfriend in college, she loves salt. Like, I was in awe. We would order pizza, and she'd put salt on it. Like, I am like, drinking water for a month after I have pizza, right? It is already salty, okay? She really likes salt, okay? So here's the thing. Can you imagine? This is my props here. I'm putting salt on my food, salt on my food. Then I eat my food, you know, my vegetables, okay? And they're like, it doesn't taste salt. It doesn't, I can't taste anything. Salty. So I put salt on my food, salt on my food, and I'm tasting it, and there's really, it hasn't brought the flavor out, okay? I don't want to put salt on anything unless it's going to make salty. You are the salt of the earth. And if you lose your saltiness, you're good. I didn't write it. Yeah. All right. All right. So how do I stay? I don't want that. All right. Now, I want to stay in fellowship. I want to stay in partnership. So how do I stay in fellowship with him? How do you and I stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. Well, we spend time in the Word. You will be salty. You stay in the Word. And how about you start talking to them? How many of you, your spouse would not love it if you quit talking to them. You want to stay in fellowship with your spouse? You better be talking. I have hung on the edge of a bed not talking at night one time, you know, a few times, okay? Because I'm not talking to you. You're an idiot, okay? That's not good, right? Okay, you want to stay in fellowship? None of you. Really? Never. Okay, yeah, I thank you for being honest out here. All right, so where am I? Here I am. I don't know where I am. Where am I? Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. So Jesus says, if you lose your saltiness, if you lose your saltiness, Jesus says you are to be salt. If you lose your saltiness, you're out of fellowship with him. You're probably not have been in the Word either. You're not hanging out and talking to him. So that's how you lose your fellowship. Or the culture is telling you, you can do whatever you want, Pastor D. You know, I'm going to find a church that tells me I can do whatever I want. Well, you ain't at the right church, because we are going to tell you what Jesus says, okay? We're going to tell you his culture, all right? So salty means I'm in fellowship. If you lose your saltiness, you're not in fellowship. So easy. Go back. Get in fellowship. Amen? All right. Salt. Let me move on. Salt's mentioned all throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, it was part of the covenant, having a covenant. You'd sit down and have a meal with somebody you're going to go into covenant with, and they'd salt their food. Oh, you salty ones. They'd salt their food. That was part of the covenant, okay? Who has made a new covenant for us? Jesus. I love it. And I just going to jump in on the new covenant. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the purpose of salt? It adds flavor, right? And it preserves, all right? Preserves, all righty? So my job, your job as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, okay? I am to preserve the culture of God. You should write that down, okay? We are salt. We are to go into the world and preserve the culture of God. So, by the way, you know what what we preach on Sunday here in church, okay, is not the message for the world. Because I'm telling you how you're living like Jesus and all this stuff, okay? You start putting people in the world that don't know Jesus yet, they're like, what? Okay, so here's my question. What's the message to the world, those that don't know Jesus yet? It's called the gospel, the good news. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on a cross, and he was buried, and he was rose again on the third day, and he comes and he offers you salvation. That's the message. Some of y'all trying to give him the message for the church, and they think you're a whack job. It's like over their heads. It doesn't make any difference, okay? So sometimes I wish we're not recorded. This is like one of those, delete that part, okay? So here's the deal. They need to hear that God loves them and Jesus died for them. That's the message for the church. I don't know why I said all that, but, oh, yeah. Okay, the message. Here we go. The first week we started talking about the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And we said that word poor in spirit means they're empty, destitute, and far from God. For theirs is now the kingdom of God. That's the message. That's the message the light takes to people that are far from God. Okay? Real simple, okay? Now, the world does not like it when you tell them, you know, you just need to straighten up your lifestyle. Not going to tell me what to do and not to do. Well, I can live any kind of lifestyle I want, okay? Guess who told us the lifestyle to live? Jesus. Jesus says there is a lifestyle that you live if you're a disciple, okay? If you're a disciple, and we are all called to be disciples, okay? And a disciple means not just Sunday, y'all, but I love when we pack it out Sunday. So it means that you follow hard after the Lord. Okay? And sure, I have some boo-boos, and that's why I do 1 John 1:9. But I'm a disciple. I'm going to follow here hard after the Lord, and I'm not going to follow hard after the culture. Amen? All right. So here we go. Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Here we go. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? For it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, okay? So we are the salt of the earth, okay? What does that mean? You are salt that preserves God's kingdom ways, amen? Okay, you and I are to be preservers, all right? Pastor D, I don't know nothing about this kingdom of God stuff. Good, that's one of the reasons why you should come to church, because we will tell you. And then I'm going to say, go and be a preserver of God's kingdom, God's ways, God's got a culture, okay? Go be preservers of that, all righty? By the way, pull your toes in, I'm going to step on them. You need to be a preserver of your household. You need to be a preserver of your household. Yes, we live in the world. Not unless you checked out and went to heaven, okay? You are living in this planet. You are living in this world, okay? You live in this world. But I'll tell you what, you know, staying up all night or watching movies all night that have nothing to do with but junk is not a good way to preserve the culture of God in your house. Been there, done it, okay? Praise God, but I don't want to do that. I want to be a preserver. How many want to be a preserver of their home? The culture. Amen. Good. I got more than 3 amens. All right. Some of you were like, ouch, ouch, ouch. All right. So what is salt? What happens when you have a lot of salt? You get thirsty. You get thirsty. you know, a bag of potato chips and I'm guzzling water. That pizza, I get so thirsty, thirsty. Okay, so here's my question, and you ought to write this one down. Ready? When was the last time you made somebody thirsty for Jesus? Woo! I was talking to a guy in our church. He's not here today. And he works in a world place, like a dark place. And they know for a couple of reasons that he's a believer. He's a believer. He's a follower of Jesus. And where he works, they beep, beep, F-bomb, all of, every other word. Okay? And they know he's a believer. And this one guy came up to him and he says, you know what? When I hang around you, I just don't want to cuss. You know what? He should say, I made you salty. Right? I was salt. You don't want to be salty. Okay? So here's the question. When was the last time you made somebody salty for Jesus? Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. I have been going, I know you can't tell, sure. I've been going taking water aerobics for the last 3 years. I love it. Don't come. I'm in a bathing suit, please. I go with total strangers. And for the first 2 years, my name was D. And I was a light in a dark place. And they're talking about crud. And they're got some words going. And even the music we're doing this, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay? But I'm a light. And we started, by the way, York County, they don't talk to y'all. It took 2 years for them to talk, say hi. Okay. I wasn't born here, but yeah, so funny. Okay, so I know. So anyway, so now I have these people in the world and we're just having, hey, how's your day? It's not, hey, how was your week? And some of them were like, oh my God, she talked to me. They don't know I'm a pastor. Okay, and now we have things going on, and I am a light and light. And finally, someone says, well, you know, I really hate to do this one. But what do you do? Well, I'm doing water aerobics. I was trying to get away with that. And then I finally said I was a pastor. That day, like, put on the brakes. Everybody says, well, I have a question for you then. Okay, but listen, really in the beginning, it was my salt. It was my light. You don't have to wear the t-shirt, wear the cross. Amen. Okay. All right, where am I? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. When was the last time you made somebody salty for Jesus, all right? Like, they're looking at your lifestyle. And they're like, whoa, you don't get all crazy about what's going on in the world. Or like, whoa, you're just not like following everything that everybody's doing. Whoa, what makes you so different, right? I made you salty. When they ask that, you made them salty by your lifestyle. Amen? Okay, turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Wow, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4. When was the last time you made somebody salty for Jesus? Colossians chapter 4. Ooh, this is a goodie. This is good for kids. If you're raising kids, I'm like, wow. Okay. Let your speech always, I'm just going to take that one out, right? No. Let your speech always be with what? Grace. Okay. Seasoned with what? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. So by the way, y'all are in relationships with people. Some of you live in households that you are the light. You have family members, extended, you are the light. Some of you are at jobs where you are the light. I go to the bank and my ladies know me, okay? I'm the light, okay? So here's the thing. You are the light to people. And that is important on your speech to people, what you say to people, right? So he said, you have grace-filled words, grace. That means kind words, pleasant words, uplifting words, encouraging words. Anybody want to write those down? Okay? So when you are out there talking to people, because you are the light. Or, better yet, in other words, my words reflect the kingdom value instead of the words that, you know, I don't like being around when people are cutting people down. That's the world. They are so good at it. They even have comedians that do that. All right? But I want my words to be the words that reflect the kingdom of God, the kingdom world, okay? And I know y'all saw this in 2020, 2021. People on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, and they said they were Christians, and I was like, I don't kind of question that, because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not slamming and bashing up one side, down one side people, okay? And if you did that, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. If you're still doing that, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you, and you need to stop, amen? Because my words are to be with grace and seasoned with salt. Amen. All right, turn back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, yeah. You are the light of the world. Everybody say, I am the light of the world. You know this song, okay? But you are the light of the world, okay? So if you're the light, how's that going? How's it going? Okay? If you're the light of the world, how is the world, the people that are far from God, looking at you, looking towards you? How, you know, like, what do they see? Righty? Okay, let's read. Oh, okay, I want to read this. This is, oh, is that the one? Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to read Matthew 5:14 out of the Message Bible. Anybody have the Message Bible? You ought to get it. It's like, it just is so easy. It talks to us like today, all right? Here we go. Okay. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. Now that I have put you there on the hilltop, on a lampstand, shine. Keep open your house. Be generous with your lives. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of that, okay? So, we are to be light. If you're taking notes, write this down. Salt is words that you say. Salt is what you say, the words you say. Light is what you do. It's your actions, right? All right. And you know this. It's one thing to say something. You know, say, I'm a Christian. I go to church, okay? But it's another thing when people see how you live your life, right? It's how they, okay? So how are you living your life? Okay, and they want, it says to do good works, right? So I want to close, and how can I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, be a light on this planet? Ready? So salt has to do my words, and light has to do with how I live my life before people, all right? I almost thought, you know, I should put, where's Britain? We need to put a sign when you walk out. You are now entering the world. Remember, you are salt and light. This is going to be on, okay. No, we're not doing any more signs. But really, just to remind you, you are entering the world and you are to be salt and light to the people out there, right? Okay, and tomorrow, guess what? Tomorrow when you wake up, you are to be salt and light. Amen. Salt and light where you work, right? Yeah, you're still supposed to be salt and light. Pastor D, will you come with me? No, it's my day off. But that's the cool thing about Jesus. Jesus says, I will live inside of you. I'll be with you. And then he gives you the Holy Spirit. Okay, you got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, okay? So when someone says, but Pastor D, it is so dark where I work. Oh my gosh, it is so bad. It's so dark. Guess what? That's where God wants you. That's where he wants the light, all right? Then the light, he wants you shining bright. So, okay, don't go there. All right, just leave it that way. He wants you to be the light. And the Bible says in John, was it chapter 1? And the light came to the world, and darkness did not extinguish it. You are the light, and you are to put darkness out. Amen. All right. Okay. Let's see. How do I wrap up here? Oh, okay. If you're taking notes, how do you be the light? If you're taking notes, number one, real easy, share your faith. Okay. Just me and aerobics, okay, what aerobics. And I just kept, you know, took 3 years, 2 years, okay? Just share your faith, okay? Share your faith, all right? By the way, God uses ordinary people to share their faith, all right? Just people, all right? And by the way, no arguing. Everybody say, no arguing. I have people that come up that don't go to our church. And they go, oh, I've been waiting to talk to you. They don't go to our church. They don't believe what we believe. And I go, they just want to argue. Some of them are smarter than I am. Okay? So I just go, I'm so glad to see you. Have a nice day. I'm out of there. Okay? But you want to talk about my light and tell you about Jesus, what he's done in my life? I will do that. Okay? So God takes ordinary people to shine their light. Praise the Lord. Okay? By the way, you're not supposed to cover your light. You're not supposed to cover your light. So if you've got junk in your life, just get rid of it, confess it, and get your light out there, all right? Second thing we're to do, God says you're to take your light where it's dark. We already said that, right? Pastor D, I work in a foul place. It's so, they're bad over there. Good. That's exactly where God wants you. You should wake up in the morning going, this is where God wants me, because I am the light. And some of you, you are the only light. Okay, take your light. Okay, they need to hear about Jesus. Okay, number three, this is shine your light together as church. Okay, so what do I mean? There is strength when we are together. There's a corporate strength. All right. You know, I get to fly a couple times a year, and I've flown, whatever one is. You know, over these mountains, and occasionally you'd see one light. But then I start approaching the airports, even little Harrisburg, and there's lights all over. And it just lights it up. It just lights it up. Okay? So here we are today. If God could zoom in and see what, well, this looks supernatural glasses here, and he'd see all of you here, it would be because of the light of God in you, we light up. All right? So church is good. We light up. We should. All right? Now, all of those are good if you do this. Ready? We sang a song. I always love when y'all sing my songs. I'm like, thank you. You can live, let me say, all of that works when you surrender your life to him. Write that word down, surrender your life to him, all right? So God uses us when we surrender to him, okay? It's not like, okay, anyway. God uses us when we surrender. Jesus is praying right before he's going to be crucified and stuff like that. And what does he pray? Not my will, but your will, right? Listen, he could have opted out. Like, if you knew what was going on, you would have opted out. And what did he say? Not my will, but your will, okay? So there are times I know that scripture. Not my will, but your will. And then I realize, you know what? It's just easier to surrender. And I go, God, not my will, but your will. Just so much better, so much better, okay? All right. Okay, let's talk about relationships. This is not a dating app. Ready? Relationships. We have relationships with each other. You, matter of fact, through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through, it's about relationships. It's a relationship here. It's a relationship here. And that is why we are big on groups, okay? Groups. groups. Some of you never been in a group. You need to be in a group. You know why you need to be in a group? Because you'll have fellowship. I have heard just, by the way, those of you that have small groups at your house, my daughter in over that way, okay, so no names. She said, Mom, you said my name. It's recorded. Okay, she goes to a small group, and listen to what they did. The first week of the month, they don't have their small group where they study the Word of God. The first week of the month, they invite the world to have dinner. And the only prayer you'll get is, let's pray over the food. Everybody bow your heads. Father God, we thank you for the food, okay? And she told me this story. So they've been doing this. They started it last year. And there's this one guy that's in the group, okay? And he works with this Muslim. He don't believe in Jesus. And he invited him to have a meal, you know, the first whatever Tuesday of the month, have a meal with us. And he started meeting these families, and they're just loving on him. And my daughter says, guess what? He now comes every week to the group. And I didn't ask her, did he say the prayer or something like that? Okay, so groups are important. Groups are important. Groups are important. All right. Let me see. All right. Okay, last question. How's your relationship with him? I'm good. You know, I'm good with the man upstairs. Whenever I hear that, usually that is a person that doesn't know Jesus. Okay? Listen, I would never say, hey, the man upstairs. Okay, he's my heavenly father. Right? My dad, John, you would never say, here's my old man. Man, you'd be across the room. He taught honor and respect, okay? So listen, when I talk about my father, he's not my old man. He's my heavenly father. So how's your relationship, y'all? How's your relationship? How's your relationship, all right? So this is where you search your heart, all right? Because you can have fellowship, but you can walk in and out of it, okay? You can walk in and out of it. So here's my question, and everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, just let, you know, just, it's you and him. How's your relationship? How's your relationship? How's your relationship with him, all right? So one, you know, how you been doing? Because, you know, well, Pastor D, I was doing good. Yep, I had, I'm not doing so good. I walked out of this fellowship, this relationship, like you, the stuff you talked about. I said, well, good, because we're going to pray and you can come back, all right? And then the other one is, this is the biggie, have you ever had a relationship with Jesus? Have you ever had a relationship with Jesus? Because someday we all stand before the throne of God. We stand before the throne of God, and you are either a child of God, and heaven is your forever, or you will not be in heaven, and there's only one other place you go. Hell. Okay? That's not God's original design. So here's my question is if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be in your life, today is a great day to say, Jesus, I need you. All right? So if you've gotten out of fellowship, we want to pray with you. Or if you'd like to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, we want to pray with you. So everybody, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're going to say this out loud. If you're saying this because this is the first time, you pray this from your heart, okay? Just say it loud enough that you can hear it. Or if you've been, I've had a relationship, but I've walked away from fellowship and just being and talking and hanging with Jesus, you pray this from your heart, all right? Just pray it from your heart. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He went to hell. He was raised from the dead. And he's seated with you. And I repent of my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to come into my life. Jesus, I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. I thank you for forgiving me all my sins. I'm made brand new. I'm a child of God. And heaven is my forever with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Praise God, praise God, praise God. So, how? Yeah, I'm like, woo, that's just awesome. It is awesome. It's just so good. It's so good. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you've asked Jesus, we have some people that are going to be up front. We want to give you a Bible because you're going to find out the culture of God, all right? And if you prayed that prayer just to come on back, we'll come on up. We'll give you a hug, amen? Everybody stand up. Say, I'm the light. I'm the salt. Here comes me. Amen. Hey, listen. Seriously, you are so precious and valuable in the kingdom of God. Have a great week. We love you. Amen.